we got an email from a friend, and we've talked about the physicist Nassim Haramein before, the guy in Hawaii. So he says, Bob, you should go over the paper. It's called What is the Origin of Spin? Go over it with Ion. So Nassim is the bomb. He's very impressed. Now, without even me clicking on the paper, you know what it said. Make a couple of comments on it before we even go into it.
Okay. The short version is it's trying to bring forth all the singularities that are not indeed singular.
Does he perceive them as not singular?
He perceives them as this is the answer to all answers of all questions.
He's trying to bring forth the singularities because he solved it, and you're saying, unfortunately, they are not what he says they are.
Well, they're not singular.
Within his knowing, his knowledge, he can come up with the false premise that is singular.
Well, all humans do that.
Right. Because the title is, What is the Origin of Spin? And he says, ask the question, what is the origin of the rotation or spin of all objects? And you may get the answer that originates at the Big Bang as an initial impulse or moment, and that it has been spinning since then in a frictionless environment. From this response, now you may have two additional questions. Is a frictionless environment a good representation of our observation? And where did the energy come from initially? That'd be the second question. And where did the energy come from initially? To the first question, our universe is comprised of not only space, but matter slash energy, all of which is interacting in plasma dynamics of galaxies, solar systems, or solar winds, and so on. Even in the intergalactic vacuum, which is the largest vacuum we've observed, molecules are only centimeters apart. All of this stuff interacting does not make for an ideal frictionless environment. In fact, this idealization further standardizes the spinning object as a solid with no viscosity difference of spin. And then he's going on and on into it. Could you comment on what I've said so far? Where is he getting the wrong rabbit hole?
Well, that's saying that there was a place when time began, and it all started this way, and it's been somebody started it off, and it can't stop because it's going to go on and on and on. It's a song that never ends. And it goes on and on, my friend. Somebody started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because it is a song that never ends. And it goes on and on. See, you can't start that song because it never ends.
Is he saying it will never end?
Right.
But if you really look at that, that means there's no beginning.
That's exactly correct.
But he's assuming there's this frictionless environment, which is the beginning.
That caused these solar winds that started making all this happen. And now, wait a minute, who blew the wind? Or did the wind blow the blower? So there you go. It's that twisting, 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 twisting. It's an if-so facto reality. We'll play with that just a little bit, but not based on that anomaly, we won't.
The paper is, what is the origin of spin? And the spin is what his head's going through.
Mm-hmm.
He's whirling and whirling.
Mm-hmm.
So he's projecting the whirling into the universe and then figuring out a position, an angle on it.
And then using that anomaly to validate the vindicated point of the origin of spin.
Yeah, which was him.
But well, you could just as easily do a paper on that and say the origin of spit.
The last paragraph of this paper says, Dr. Stephen Hawking, who for nearly 30 years insisted that black holes could not radiate information, in a recent announcement has now made a complete 180-degree turn in his views.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
We told you that a month ago, Bob, remember?
Yes, much to his credit, he writes, predicting that black holes may be able to radiate information. This has been a fundamental contingency of this unification view for almost 20 years, and I'm excited to see these views now being embraced by others. So he's claiming he had this view. Interestingly, I arrived to these conclusions long before confirming these relationships with standard mathematics. In other words, he made up an idea, confirmed it, and then went to work to fit the mathematics back into it. Is that correct?
And couldn't, and now because he couldn't and science can't disprove it, he has a shot.
He says, I did so by using pure logic.
Now, oh, so, yeah, logic, yeah.
It did so by using pure logic, a keen observation of nature, and geometric extrapolations, some resulting from in-depth studies of ancient symbols and esoteric schools of thought, such as the Pythagorean schools and ancient Hebraic and Egyptian texts. In many respects, I unknowingly followed a similar path of investigation as Sir Isaac Newton, who had spent a significant part of his adult life deeply immersed in the study of ancient texts and monuments before arriving at his fundamental laws of nature. But I am getting ahead of myself. This is all for a future article on the seemingly ancient, profound understandings of the geometry of nature to what that means. So he's going to relate to what that means in our technological modern era.
And he might even call it sacred geometry.
Iona said that Iona's bringing back the ancient, the old school, the ancient knowledge, but it's not sacred geometry. So his idea of ancient understandings is not what Ion thinks are ancient understandings.
He's on the right path, though, when he's now calculating and figuring out, and he's the bright one of the world, you see. Oh, there might be something that the black hole can emanate back to us. Well, if the black hole has emanations, then there must be something at the end of this event horizon known as the black hole. If it is a pathway or a portal that can go to and from hither and to, then therefore there must be some seamless anomaly that we have overlooked in our divination of the divine that is the experience that we are about to engage.
Now, you started off talking Stephen Hawking's limited view of physics, and then you flipped into what is actually happening.
Well, and what he's trying to draw the conclusion regarding.
Well, he's not considering portals and black holes.
No.
Oh, okay. Parallel world traveling, he's considering.
But he hasn't there yet. But that's what he's trying to get to. And if he could leave sacred geometry out of it, he'd be hitting the nail on the head. But if you got to go through sacred geometry to validate that position, however transitional, then the best you're going to get is a false premise. But there's nothing wrong with that. If that moves you into a correct premise, there's nothing wrong with teaching a course on who duty if who duty gets you to understanding reality.
What does the word who duty refer to?
Somebody teaches a class in something odd that they've been doing for some time, 3 years, and now they've decided that that's not it.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, that's what they concluded.
I don't even remember what you said. It's okay. I'll listen to it again.
Well, that's what they concluded today, that that was not the way, and how could they have been following that all this time and not knowing?
You're saying that Hawking and them are considering portal traveling and fit that into their scenario.
Because it's coming on the horizon, and if they don't include it or engage it, then they're going to be less than.
How do they know it's coming?
Turn on anything and you can feel it.
You mean in the entertainment movies?
Well, okay, cash flow.
So Hawking is aware of us?
Sure.
Who would have told him about what we're saying?
Any conspiracy theorist. I mean, most of Hawking's work comes straight out of the National Enquirer, and we're not being facetious.
From your point of view, not from the Oxford, they think he's pretty smart, right?
Yeah, Bob, he is pretty smart, but why is he smart? Because he deals with every dynamic of outsideness, of the theory of everything. Yeah, that's the ticket. That's the answer to life. Is we've just avoided the theory of everything. Well, if we can consider the theory of everything, then everything will be known.
Are you saying that he looks at phenomena that's reported in National Enquirer and tries to fit it into his theory of everything?
Yep. We're not saying that. That is what it takes place.
That's what he does, what you're saying.
Because otherwise, how do you come to these high thoughts of knowing that you have these competing realities that you have to work out the details regarding? Otherwise, Sir Isaac would have never made it. That was no more than a hypothesized direction of delineation that couldn't be vindicated or validated until it could. Well, is the difference? And if there is a difference, what's the difference?
On the eve of the anniversary, Bob and Carol and those that listen to Cashflow might be surprised at how far and wide the ION information has been considered. And it's because ION is saying things with a knowingness that resonates with their glimpses.
That opens up their pictorial view. Glimpses open the pictorial view to the larger dynamic that is their becoming place of knowing. Becoming place of knowing. That's how all creation takes place. They're just getting on the bandwagon before the train leaves.
They listen to what ION says, and they know there's a knowing there that confirms what they had glimpsed.
So then they write a paper about it, and then somebody else comes up with something and proves a little something, and then Stephen Hawking refers to the reference that was in your looky box today and said this was the dynamic that we were working with years ago, and then we had to come to the empirical reference analysis that caused the anomaly to be considered. So thanks again. Please send the Nobel Peace Prize money to my